Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
So, hey, friends, and welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we do our best to bring you stories from the trenches of what actually happens in real estate that none of us ever expect and none of you ever expect. And HGTV is too chicken to put on their channel. And today I'm really excited because I've got Avery Carl with me today. Avery, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
So tell our listeners and our viewers where you're located, what you do in real estate, how long you've been doing it, any little tidbits they should know to understand who you are.
Sure. So I've been in real estate since 2017. I focus exclusively on investor clients who are looking to buy short-term or vacation rentals. So my business is a little bit different than traditional primary home real estate. I'm in three markets in three states. So that's the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, where people buy cabins to rent out on Airbnb. The Destin, Florida market, obviously people buy beach houses to rent on Airbnb. And then also Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is also a beach market. So
I saw. You can film me something at the Great Smoky Mountains. We went there for vacation this year. We stayed in an Airbnb and it was over in, oh golly, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was a 1798 grist mill. These people bought an old grist mill that had a cabin beside it.
I know exactly which property that is.
So cool. And I loved the owners and I would stay in that Airbnb a million times over. But you are so lucky to get to work that market as long as we protect the ability of homeowners to do Airbnb legislatively. But that being said, as a whole different topic altogether, I'm sure you see a whole different side of real estate than those of us that do primary residences get to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts that go into these short-term rental deals that you don't have to deal with primary homes, like the fact that a lot of them come furnished, but you know, furniture isn't real estate, so it's not a negotiation tool on the price of the real estate. So, you know, there's that, and then helping clients determine what their income could possibly be. So there's just a lot of extra stuff that can go wrong.
So are you a spreadsheet girl, or do you just kind of go by feel of a property as to what's going to hit the eye of an Airbnb shopper? Because how do you know which property is going to stand out? And I ask this because when we were looking for an Airbnb in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and the greater Smoky Mountain area, I mean, it's like condo after condo after condo. They all look the same, which is part of why we landed at the grist mill.
Yeah. So most of my experience comes from being an investor myself. So I have 30 units that I own, and five of them are cabins in the Smokies. So while I am a spreadsheet girl, I've just been doing this for long enough to kind of be able to eyeball things. But we get 13 million visitors a year to the Smoky Mountain National Park, and there's really no hotels, as you saw, I'm sure. So, and it's been that way since the 70s. So as of now, and we actually got a million more visitors in 2019 than we did in 2018. So there's no amount of building that can do that. So the condos don't really rent as well as the cabins and the grist mill thing. But, you know, as long as you buy something that's a cabin and feels like you're on vacation in the mountains, you're going to get rented.
I love that. So before you tell your crazy story, I know a lot of our listeners, especially in 2020, so we're recording this, of course, in August of 2020, and nobody doesn't know that the world's upside down, sideways, and crazy. But a lot of normal people have said maybe it's time to think about real estate investing because they've gotten completely over the volatility of the stock market. When you bought your first investment property, what was the biggest challenge for you? What did you have to overcome mentally and financially to make the first one happen? Because as we all know, you never forget your first, and it's also the hardest one to deal with.
Saving up for that first down payment is definitely the hump, the biggest hump. And then after that, it's the hardest part is to not get caught up in analysis paralysis and to just pull the trigger. And there's no better way to learn than by doing. And you can spend the next 6 years analyzing a property, but you're never going to make any money on it if you don't pull the trigger.
See, I'm sitting here writing down no better way to learn than by doing, because that is seriously big time information. You just did this whole mic drop right there, Avery. So I appreciate that. So friends that are listening to this, if you're thinking you want to be somebody in the future that has an empire. Real estate's how you build empire. I mean, come on, y'all. And it's not about mansions. It's about regular properties. And so, Avery, thank you for giving us that little tiny bit of insight. You're totally right about analysis paralysis. It happens in everything. But I think real estate, it just hits home because it's so big. I mean, you're buying a property that's going to have taxes and a mortgage and everything else and that outflow. So with that being said, let's flip over. I want to hear some of the stories of what you see as an investor, a property manager, an Airbnb sales queen. What do you see in these different markets? And what's the, we're having a cocktail. We're talking about, girl, you will not believe what just happened to me today. I'd love to know that day. What happened?
Okay. Well, I had a really crazy one this weekend. So there was a property that came up in the Smoky Mountain market, really good deal, 5-bedroom, had a view. That market is really, really hot for investors. Pretty much anything that's a good deal is going to go multiple offers within a few days. And I have a lot of repeat clients. People don't ever just buy one of these things. They see how much money they make and then they buy more. So one of my clients who I've had for a couple of years let me know last month, hey, I'm looking, we've been looking for him for some stuff. And this property popped up and he's like, hey, I want it. So we made a really, really good offer with an escalation clause and all this craziness. So we made his offer. And I should preface this with, in Tennessee, according to my broker, someone might try and prove me wrong here and that's fine. But according to my broker, you are allowed to make offers for two different clients as long as you disclose it and let them know. Yeah. So as long as you let them know, you can't tell them what the other one is doing. Under normal circumstances, I would normally do that. The second client popped up who I have also worked with for years, but hadn't heard from in like 7 or 8 months. And he said, I want this property. And I was out in the middle. I was out in the middle of showing properties for another client. So I couldn't write it up. So I kicked him over to an agent who works for me named Jose. And I said, okay, I'm out running around. Jose is going to take over this one for you. I didn't bother letting him know that I'd already made an offer. Or I mean, I did let this guy know that I've already made an offer for the first guy. But the first guy, I didn't bother telling, hey, somebody else came along who wanted to make an offer, but I kicked him over here because they're, you know, why would you do that? Jose reached out to him and said, hey, I'm going to make this offer. He didn't respond to Jose. He just went and used some other agent that I don't know at another brokerage. And he ended up winning the property. I found out that he didn't use Jose. And I was like, we've been working together for years. You've got 4 properties. You're making 6 figures using the systems and the tools that I've given you. I really wish you would have said something before you just went and used another agent. And he was like, oh, sorry. Yeah, that wasn't cool. And I said, who'd you use? And he told me. And I was like, all right, great. Well, please don't do that again. And so, you know, I thought, okay, that's over. We didn't win it. My first client who I made the offer for was really, really bummed, like way too emotionally involved. I tell all my clients, keep your emotions out of your real estate investing. He did not. So super bummed, was texting me about it all weekend. The client who did win it, who used another agent, there is a Smoky Mountain Vacation Homeowners Facebook group. He had a couple of cocktails, got on the Facebook group, and started gloating about this really good deal he got on this property. And the And the client who I made the offer for saw this and started poking around and was like, who's your agent? And even though that second guy did not use me, he felt bad because he felt like I was mad at him for using another agent. So he wrote, Avery Carl is the best agent in the whole world. So even though I didn't do anything, I didn't even write the 2 offers, these guys have found each other on Facebook and they're talking back and forth. And the emotional guy who didn't win it is texting me, like sending me screenshots saying, this guy who won this says that he offered less than us and you're his agent. What do you have to say about that? And I had to like navigate that whole thing, had to send screenshots of me scolding the other guy for using another agent and the whole thing. And it was just a mess. Turns out, at the end of all of this, the guy who did win ended up having an issue to where he couldn't buy a property right now. So we put in a backup offer and my butthurt guy got it. So you have to be careful with the social media and everybody knows each other. And even though in that case, I would have been well within the legalities and ethics to have written both offers, I didn't. And I still got in trouble with the clients for it.
Well, I mean, obviously the thing we want everybody to take away from this is don't drink in Facebook, but you should.
All right.
Facebook's been around long enough, but honestly, it is true that you did everything as arm's length as you could so that you're only working for one. Because I'm with you, just because we're legally allowed to doesn't always mean we should, because it just, people start questioning our motives and our honor, and that's all we have to protect is our honor and our integrity. And this guy obviously knew he'd done wrong by not going to Jose, and he was trying to make up for it, but your guy jumped. I mean, because everybody jumps to conclusions. It was just crazy. But on the bright side, it did give your guy a chance to win that property.
Yeah, I mean, after all that, yeah.
But also, I mean, if you don't want to get into that position, friends, make sure that you got all your finances lined up before you go buying properties and dropping offers. And also, is that why he went to somebody else and not to Jose? Because he knew he was on a wish and a prayer? Because that could be.
It's possible. Who knows?
I don't know, but Lord. Oh, I mean, what a mess. But you say you have a system that helps people maximize their Airbnbs? Like you've created something cool?
Yeah. So in the markets where I sell real estate, I also own Airbnbs.
Also Destin and what was the third one?
Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Oh, that's right. I got distracted by the Great Smoky Mountains because I love it there.
Yeah. So I also own and manage my own Airbnbs in those markets. And so my value add to my clients when they come to me is if they use my team as their buyer agents, we will help them get all set up with their Airbnb and VRBO listings and get them cleaners and handymen so that by closing day, they are ready to rock and make money.
Okay, I freaking love this. And don't worry, friends, I'll conclude all her information at the end of the episode. Okay, so tell us another one of your stories. It's the one that made me put my hands over my face. And so I think everybody needs to hear about it because I want to know the details.
Okay, so there was a property that it was one of those FSBOs that you pay, like a flat fee brokerage that you pay to put your FSBO on the MLS. And I was showing a client of mine this FSBO property, and the owner insisted on being there. And the owner, I don't know if anybody listening has ever listened to the Jerky Boys, the prank calls from the early 2000s.
Oh, those were really funny.
Yeah.
You so probably canceled forever if you did that now.
Yeah. So that owner, that FSBO owner, anytime he called me on the phone, it sounded like a Jerky Boys episode. And I was like, this is nuts. He cannot be for real. Yeah. So he decided that he liked me. And if I sold his property, which I did get it under contract, that he was going to use me to go buy another one. And so we went and we looked around at some stuff, and we were in a showing at a house, and he said, hang on, I'll be right back. And just left me in the house. And I was like, all right, fine. And outside, and I saw him get some toilet paper out of his trunk. And I was like, what? Where's this going? And so I walked outside. I was sitting on the front porch, and I sat there for like 20 minutes. He was out in the woods. Like, I'm not following a man I don't know out into the woods. So I just sat there and waited. And then I heard some footsteps coming, and he goes, I shit in the woods. And he came back, and I was like, he goes, I didn't want to do it in the house. Okay. All right. Well, I see how you were being sort of polite and all right, cool. Let's go look at the next one.
So in a COVID era, I mean, we've got to tell our clients you can't use the bathroom in the property anyway. And if you got to go, you got to go. But I got to say, it's a uniquely male thing to have to announce I took a shit. And I got to say, if you're a man listening to this show, don't at me and tell me I'm wrong, because women don't do that. Let's just be honest. It'd be like, oh, I had to go hunt for something. I was looking for a mushroom in the woods or something. We would lie.
I saw a bunny.
Yes. Did he finally buy something though? Because that's one of the big questions we have in the stories.
He did buy something.
Did it have indoor plumbing?
It did. Luckily.
See, all you're doing, girl, is you are perpetuating the stereotypes about Tennessee right now.
Oh, yeah. And that guy, he lives in Tennessee, but he's from Hawaii, actually.
Okay, so he's used to a rustic lifestyle.
I guess so.
We got a better deal in Tennessee than Hawaii, especially tax-wise. Y'all got it going on for taxes.
Mm-hmm, we do.
So if anybody is thinking about getting involved in Airbnb, so they want to learn more about how you can help turn this into part of their portfolio, Avery, what's the best way for somebody to reach you and find out about your three markets?
Theshorttermshop.com is my website. My team is The Short Term Shop. And there's few phone numbers, email addresses right there on the front page. You can text those phone numbers if you're not a phone caller. I'm a millennial. I get it. Yeah, just hit me up there.
Freaking love it. Okay, guys. So you have to get in line behind me because I got to reach out to Avery about the Great Smoky Mountains, but y'all can have Destin and Gulf Shores. And thank you for coming on the show, for telling us a couple of stories. And I'm actually mostly excited to hear about how much success you're having building a property portfolio at such a young age where you're pregnant and all that. So now we know you're definitely not as old as I am. So rock on, sister. Build that empire. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
And if you have your own story to tell, maybe you announced your shit in the woods with your agent, or maybe you have something else where you were drinking in Facebook. And I don't know what your crazy shit stories are, but let me know. We'll include you in a future episode of the podcast. In the meantime, subscribe for more. Always give 5 stars because we need to take over all the boring podcasts out there. And I'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.